Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Iran, the Middle East, and biblical prophecy today. How does all that fit together? What does the Bible say about it? Are we watching the Biden administration set the stage for a battle between Iran and Israel? That's just part of the story. That's part of the biblical picture. We have Derwin holding on the line. Go over with your further statements, Derwin, as we were talking before the break.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to start off with that recognition of what Rome called the Jordan area, everything east of, you know, the coastal cities, Lebanese and all that. Another thing is currently, since O'Biden took over from Obama, if he is going to try and trash the cooperation that Jordan had made with Israel and I believe Egypt. They were doing quite well, if I remember correctly. And I'll leave it over to you for comment.
Absolutely. Well, Derwin, you're right. And one of the things that we see, and by the way, you say the O'Biden administration. I noticed this morning on Fox News, Fox and Friends, the lady that's there, one of the commentators, I'm sure that she didn't realize she was making an error. She kept referring to it as the O'Biden administration. O'Biden, she said 3 times, the O'Biden administration. She's meaning Biden, but we have come to call it O'Biden because of knowing that Obama is behind the scenes pulling the strings for most of what Biden does. But I found it fascinating that she didn't even catch the error. But you're exactly right. And what we see with Biden is headstrong to unravel everything that President Donald J. Trump did, including the Abraham Accord, including the modicum of peace that we found in the Middle East, because Biden has now determined that he's going to once again fund the Palestinian Arab jihadists that are lobbing missiles in and trying to destroy Israel almost on a daily basis. That had been sequestered for a while. That had been silenced for a while because, unknown to the general taxpayers in America, taxpayer dollars had been going under the Obama administration prior to Donald J. Trump. We'd been, as a nation, America had been sending hundreds of millions of dollars, like $400 to $600 million a year, to the Palestinians. And the Palestinians were using that money to pay the martyrs, as they called them. And a martyr was one of the Arabic jihadist, Islamic jihadist, that would go in and kill a Jewish person. He would get rewarded because if he was killed as a martyr, then that person's family would receive thousands and thousands of dollars annually from the Palestinians funds, and those funds were coming from American taxpayers. And Biden is going back now and basically setting in place to replicate all that the Obama administration had done, which is detrimental to the nation of Israel. And right now, the only thing I believe, or the main thing that causes God to continue to bless America is because of our standing with Israel and blessing Israel, and God's promise to bless any nation that blesses Israel and to curse any nation that curses Israel. And so I am personally concerned when I see Biden in his direction to undermine our relationship with Israel and the protection of Israel. But, Derwin, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you. God bless you and keep on looking up today. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the Abrahamic Accord that set the stage for ultimately to bring together what the Trump administration envisioned as a top-down approach rather than a bottom-up approach to bringing about peace in the Middle East. But ladies and gentlemen, until the Prince of Peace returns, Jesus Christ himself, there will be no peace in the Middle East. But when we talk about the text, and time will not allow us to exegete the text in Ezekiel 38 and 39, but it's very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be five Islamic nations, and they are Islamic nations, that'll be brought together as a coalition to come against Israel. One of them is Persia, according to Ezekiel 38, the first seven verses. Persia, that's old Persia, that is today's modern Israel, and it will include Iraq. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you see Iraq and Iran, you're talking about the old Persian Empire. Iran has been allied with Russia from way back. In fact, Iran today, I believe, secretly holds the nuclear technology. Most Russian scientists today understand, in fact, it was out of the Russian scientist technology area that allowed Iran to get hold of and start the developing the nuclear weapons. Persia, old Persia, Iran, has the Straits of Hormuz today between Iran and Oman, the northwest point, just some 45 miles of the world's oil pass that direction through the Straits of Hormuz. That 45-mile distance, most of the world's oil travels through that. In fact, you'll recall some few years ago when it was Iran that shut off the straits and prevented the oil transport tankers from going through. And ladies and gentlemen, for your information, if you're not familiar with geography, biblical geography or world geography, Iran borders on Russia by 1,350 miles. Then you have, according to Ezekiel chapter 38, Ethiopia. Ethiopia is modern Sudan, 35 million population, all Islamic-dominated nation. Then you have Libya, known today as Libya. And they have major ties with Russia. Russia stands, anytime there's a question or a challenge in the United Nations debates, Russia will stand with Libya on whatever they want to do in the UN. Anytime Libya is challenged or criticized, Russia will take the part of Libya. And you might recall Libya being the place where, who was it? What was her name? Hillary Clinton? The lied about Benghazi and what had taken place in Benghazi because of the secret gun running that was being carried out behind the scenes and behind the backs of Congress by the Obama administration, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, that when it was discussed then, and she was before the Senate hearings, talking about those that had died and what had happened, and she said, what difference does that make? How does it change anything? With a very harsh attitude that it didn't matter. And then you have Gomer that is recited in Ezekiel chapter 38. That's today's modern Germany. Today, Germany is on the very verge of being totally dominated, ladies and gentlemen, by Islam. Islam almost dominates Germany today, being ravaged by the Islamic refugees. In fact, according to Genesis chapter 10 and verse 2, it shows Gomer and Magog and Meshach as among the sons of Japheth in the scripture that we find today. We can conclude that Gomer, with the ancient blood ties of the people who inhabited the land in Russia, identified as Germany today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the coalition of the five nations along with Russia that will eventually come against the nation of Israel. I believe we're watching the stage being set. I believe we're watching the players being put in place. I believe we're watching the hand of God bringing about the last days when this shall take place. And then, ladies and gentlemen, also maimed in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel is Togomar. Togomar is modern Turkey today. The these controlling forces today, ladies and gentlemen, are all Islamic jihadist controlled, and they hate Israel with a purple passion. They have a desire to eviscerate, to destroy, to absolutely wipe off the face of the map the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. So, ladies and gentlemen, the stage is set for that, and that is recorded in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It is a marvelous study to understand what God is doing. When you look at the Ezekiel 38 and 39, you'll see how when the battle takes place, there'll be grave confusion and absolute consternation on the part of those in the battle. And God will bring about that confusion and consternation so the weaponry and the soldiers carrying out the battle will be confused and will turn on themselves, but God will ultimately have the victory. Ladies and gentlemen, today Israel has about 34 political parties. Any prime minister must be able to assemble a coalition of the parties to be able to lead. And today, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu leads in the new election campaign in Israel by, I believe it's about 31 seats out of the total Knesset that makes the decision. I believe we have Derwin on the line again. Derwin, go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. Just correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in your reference to Germany that Prime Minister Merkel was actually raised in East Germany. East Germany, and I believe at the time they were talking about merger, they had the West Germans were fearful, more or less, for the same reasons that we're seeing O'Biden with his open border to Mexico. The West Germans were afraid of the East Germans flooding their labor markets and all of that. And being East German raised, I can understand why she is a champion with Putin to have him control all of the natural gas for Europe.
And you're right on target with that, and that's exactly what Putin is doing through the oil pipeline that's being allowed to go through. And, you know, under the Trump administration, that was challenged. He was challenging the European Union with allowing that to take place. And it was Angela Merkel that took a stand for that, to stand with Putin, that it might be accomplished. And so you're exactly on target.
All right, sir. Well, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you so much, Brother Derwin. God bless you, and I pray that you'll keep looking up. Jesus could come anytime. Today, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the biblical record and we look at what is taking place globally, we're talking about Iran, the Middle East, and biblical prophecy. How does Iran fit into that Middle East and the biblical prophecy? And it's because they are part and parcel of the five-nation coalition, all being, by the way, all being majorly dominated by Islam. It's because the Arabic Islamic jihadists are absolutely, totally against the nation of Israel, wanting to wipe out the apple of God's eye, the little nation of Jewish people. But ladies and gentlemen, in the Israel today, they're pushing toward a new forming of a new government because the government keeps falling down, as they call it, because of not having a coalition. They've got a major, major problem in that I believe there's, 100-some-odd different parties in the Knesset, and out of that total number of parties, it takes a genius operating to become the prime minister to be able to bring about a coalition that dominates the Knesset in order to be the prime minister and lead. But ladies and gentlemen, God has set aside two full chapters in the scripture, that's Ezekiel 38 and 39, to show us, tell us what is going to take place in the final days. Will China have a role in the final days? Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, does China have a role in the end time? This passage predicts, and it's talking about Revelation 16, verses 12 through 16, and that's the Battle of Armageddon that is spoken of there in that text, and it's the sixth angel that pours out the bowl of wrath, and it talks about that very clearly, about the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation 16, verse 12 through 16. And so this article says, this passage predicts a massive climatic conflict known as the Battle of Armageddon. It occurs at the end of the tribulation after the sixth bowl of judgment has been poured out. At that time, the Euphrates River will be dried up, allowing the kings of the east, notice now, kings of the east, to invade the Near East and march toward Israel. It is the kings from the east, identification that many associates associate with China. The Chinese army, or a Chinese-led coalition, will also take advantage of the removal of a natural barrier and sweep westward up to the forces with the Antichrist. And ladies and gentlemen, you find that in Daniel chapter 11, about verses 35 through about verse 41, where the Antichrist get news out of the Far East, the rumblings of the Chinese coming. That didn't say Chinese in Daniel, the 11th chapter. But as we see in Revelation chapter 9, the Chinese Red Army is the only army on the face of the globe that's ever bragged about having a 200 million man army. Now picture that 200 million man army. One of the theologians of yesteryear said that you take that number and you could literally form a human bridge from China to the United States of America, with one falling and another falling and another falling and making a human bridge. And that's what a 200 million man army looks like. This article says, when end times focus from China joins with the armies of Antichrist, the seventh final bowl of judgment will be poured out. The Lord Jesus will return. The most violent earthquake will shake the world, and the forces of the Antichrist and the armies of the East will be destroyed. Revelation 16, 17 through 20 and 19, verses 11 through 21. And ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, according to Revelation 19, verses 17 through 21, he's going to slay the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, the enemies of the Christ, and the enemies of Israel with the sword of his mouth and cast them into hell. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, he's going to cast Satan himself into that place called hell. This article says the development of the enormous military strength, intimidation of the Hong Kong, Tibet, Taiwan, and other regions, pursuit of global economic dominance, aggressive rhetoric on the world stage, and, of course, the persecution of Chinese Christians, all of this has been characterized and characteristic of China. It is not hard to imagine that the king of the East, who one day will march into Israel, will include China. And it goes on to talk about the 200 million man army. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Iran, the Middle East, and biblical prophecy. It is a fact, ladies and gentlemen, that Iran is now there armed, angry, aggressive, and ready to strike Israel. The question is whether or not Israel will do a preemptive strike first, or whether or not it will be Iran with the Scud missiles trying to wipe out the nation of Israel. But keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day when these rattling of sabers, there's coming a day when there will be a coalition of these forces that will come together led by the nation of Russia. Russia, which is Putin on his throne, if you will, and Russia will be the one that will dominate. Let me just read you a brief paragraph written in 1888 by Walter Scott. Walter Scott said this. He was a prophetic writer. He was one that understood Scripture. He said, Russia is evidently destined to become the master of Asia. The frontier line across Asia will be 5,000 miles long. It is well known that Russia policy is on a steady, aggressive, nonstop, not only in Europe, but also in Asia. She is probably the most ambitious and grasping of modern kingdoms, the most faithless in public honor and treaty agreements. The character ascribed to her in the prophetic scriptures, coupled with the frequent outbreaks of undisguised hostility to the things of God, and in the more awful future exhibits Russia in the most unfavorable light. Further, this writer says, Russia has from ages mitigated on the conquest of Asia, India, and China. Great Britain and the United States stand face to face with Russian power, and these two sides will come into one final awful struggle. We judge that the tide of Russian conquest will flow on the frontiers of China. The antecedent of Russia in the East and the revival of the old Roman Empire in the West necessitates the meeting of these two dominating opposing powers, and the great Jewish question must be settled at Jerusalem. the city of the great king, leading to the millennial triumph in Israel and her headship over the nations of the world. We believe, from the place assigned to Russia in the Word of God, that her legions will sweep over the plains and mountains of Asia and become the dominant power over all the East until she falls forever on the mountain of Judah. Thus she will command for a time the powers north of Palestine and east of the Euphrates River. And end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that was written in 1888, and that is just as real and relevant as if it had been written today, because we're watching the coalition, the coalescing of those nations. And listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The Biden administration is a puppet for the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party. The Biden administration, bought and paid for through the Biden cabal, family cabal, is owned and operated, if you will, by China. China and Russia and Iran are actually aggressively moving against and into the day and time they will come against the nation of Israel. Because of the softness of this administration, the globe recognizes that America has a president that is not strong, that is not cognitively well, that is already in the pockets of these nations and cannot do anything that will be aggressively against these nations. Iran is right now flexing their muscle. Iran is right now shaking their fist at America and demanding that Joseph Biden go back into the agreement that was made with Iran and President Obama while Biden was the vice president in that era. We're watching a falling back in the era that Trump had brought us to, where there was at least a modicum of protection for the nation of Israel. We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, that softening take place, and Biden cannot help himself. Biden is not under control of what he does. He is the puppet, and the puppeteer happens to be Russia and China and Iran and those that are following the leadership of Bernie Sanders for a socialist, Marxist, communist-style government in the United States of America. Here's an article that in part makes a few statements. For example, Daniel 8:17. We're talking about when will this happen? What will take place? Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Daniel 8:19. It pertains to the appointed time of the end. Daniel 8:26. It pertains to many days in the future. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about prophetic, eschatological future tense of what God is going to do in the nation of Israel. And we can sit back and watch, ladies and gentlemen, because God has already said it's going to take place, and it shall take place. But the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered, just how will Iran play a part in these last days? Here's an article that summarizes it for us that I think would be a benefit to hear. What role does Iran play in the end times? There are several biblical prophecies at the end time that mention Iran, called Persia, or Elam, E-L-A-M, in the Bible. Given the fact that Iran is often in the news as a nation seeking to possibly have nuclear weapons and perhaps already has them, and repeatedly issues threats against Israel, students of biblical prophecy are taking note. Further, it says, Jeremiah prophesied that Elam, a nation east of Babylon, would, and west of Persia and south of Media, would be conquered and then rise to power again, according to Jeremiah 49, verse 34 through 39. I have that marked in my Bible. I'm not going to take time to read it. True in that prophecy that Babylon conquered Elam in 596 B.C., when then Persia, under Cyrus the Great, took control of that area. And the Elamites and the Medes became part of the Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire ascended to power and conquered Babylon in 539 B.C., fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah 21:2. This happened during the time of Daniel chapter 5. In fact, Daniel later resided in the province of Elam in Persia, Daniel 8:2. Persia is the setting for the book of Esther and the first part of Nehemiah. Further, this article states, given a little historic geography and general chronology, Alexander the Great conquest put an end to the Persian Empire as a world power, fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel 8. In the following centuries, Persia was ruled by the Seleucids and the Parthians, the Romans and the Byzantines, and finally, in AD 630, the Muslims. In 1501, the state of Iran was founded. Iran involvement in the end time will be as one of the nations involved in the Battle of Gog and Magog, which probably occurs during the first half of the days of the tribulation. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see the formation of it taking place in the formation of it before the rapture of the church, and then we'll usher into the days of the tribulation. Now, there's not anything in the Bible that's clear-cut in a hyper-technological fashion where it says this ends it, this begins it, for that part of the biblical eschatological truth. But I believe from the standpoint of what we're seeing today, what we're seeing as Christians today, as conservatives, as a nation today, we're watching the hand of God, the clock of God, bringing about on a fast track of what shall take place in full steam ahead after the rapture of the church occurs. The outcome of this end time invasion, ladies and gentlemen, is predicted in the scripture. God supernaturally intervenes, and that Gog and Magog coalition is utterly, ultimate, totally destroyed. The scripture says, on the mountain of Israel, they will fall, and you and your troops and your nations with you. And the Bible says, and I will give you food to all kinds of carriers of birds and to the wild animals. Ezekiel 39, verses 4 and 5. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to rejoice as Christians in the realizations and the recognition that God is on the throne. We need to pray. We need to pray and seek God's face and ask God to heal our land. Because, ladies and gentlemen, America stands at the crossroads as to the direction that we're going to go. And that direction will be determined by what happens in the Oval Office, determined by the decisions that Joseph Biden makes in his cognitively depleted ability with the puppeteers controlling what he does and says. But we need to understand, on the prophetic calendar of God, the eschatological truth of God, Russia, five Islamic nations, including Iran, will be on the warpath against Israel, the apple of God's eye. And that should cause us to rejoice in the realization and the recognition that God is on the throne, that God is still in control, that God has not gone to sleep, he's not left his position of authority. In the final days, which God will allow us to see his hand at work, as the nation of Israel will be the focus. The nation of Israel today is the focus around the globe and of all nations. It has become the trembling stone, if you please, of all of the nations. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.